It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist. You know, I thank each of you for listening today, and I thank you for listening every week. It is so nice to hear that you are listening. So our co-host is Kara Carper. Kara is a nutrition educator. She has her master's degree in holistic health from St. Kate's, and she sees clients at both our St. Paul office and our Wayzata office. She also teaches many of our nutrition classes, so welcome, Kara. In fact, we've added another work day to your schedule, because you already got a busy schedule,
yep.
But we said, oh, you've got to have more work. So you're seeing clients one day every other week at a small company in Stillwater now, aren't you?
I am, yep. I just started this week, and, you know, the employees seemed very happy to learn about improving their health just by learning how to eat better. And it really is a progressive company. So, of course, healthy employees make happy employees and lower health insurance rates. Because I'm going to their office, it's time and cost effective for the employees.
I think that's great. And, you know, one of the other things that I read recently in the Pioneer Press, there was an article in the business section that many companies are now starting to hire doctors and nurses to be on staff with an office right in their company, because guess what? It saves them money.
It makes a lot of sense.
And so I think what we're doing, we're finding that more and more companies are really realizing that nutrition education is also a must for employees, and they're bringing some nutrition education right into their company, and it's great for us and it's great for them. And really, their healthcare costs are going to be a lot lower. We can almost guarantee that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we know that when people eat better, they feel better. They have better blood sugar numbers. Their blood sugars are under control. They have better cholesterol numbers, fewer aches and pains. And all of these things amount to fewer doctor visits. So I'm really excited to be a part of creating better health for these employees.
And we are really excited about it, too. You know, I think that we really have an epidemic of chronic illness. And for some reason, and it's a mystery to me sometimes, is that people really, they don't know what to eat. I mean, it's, they just honestly don't know what to eat to keep themselves healthy.
Well, Dart, when clients come into our office for a consultation, you know, we hear this quite often. People say, I know a lot about nutrition, what to eat, but I just am not implementing it. But when we sit down with them, what we find is that they usually have outdated information. Often it's about calorie restrictions, low-calorie diets, low-fat, or, you know, prepackaged foods, and it's not real food. And real food is what tastes great, and that's what's going to give them energy, health, and a sense of well-being.
I think that's one of the main misconceptions, don't you, Kara, that people think that they have to starve in order to follow some kind of nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, people don't want that information. That they don't. They don't want to be told one time again and again and again that they have to cut back their calories. They don't want to hear that stuff. And so, you know, so many people with these chronic health problems, they just don't want to go to nutrition education any longer because I think that it's going to be boring. And, you know, let's face it, there are a lot of those nutrition classes out there that are boring. But I think we really do this well. We make our classes interesting, don't we?
And we do, and we tell people that they can actually eat.
And they can actually eat, and that they can have fun, and they can learn, and they can try new recipes, and it doesn't have to be boring, and they can change their health, mm-hmm. and they can feel better.
Well, that brings us to our topic today. We're going to talk about PMS, premenstrual syndrome. And I actually have a personal story with PMS.
Okay. You're getting brave.
I am. I know. Sharing a personal story. But years ago, you know, I had really bad PMS, the bloating and especially the cramps. I had prescription ibuprofen. And my doctor said that birth control would help. But I found that when I stopped, that my PMS actually went away.
And so do you have PMS now?
I don't.
Isn't that amazing?
No, and I, you know, now I use a couple of supplements instead, and that works great.
But in the process, has your eating also gotten a lot better?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, you know, I didn't know I was eating too many sugars, probably.
Yes, okay. So I think, and this is true for a lot of people, you know, they believe what's on TV. They believe TV nutrition. And you know, like Cara, you know, she thought that birth control pills was going to help with the symptoms. The other one that we're hearing all the time on TV is antidepressants are going to help with the symptoms. But they really don't. They're just, it's much deeper than that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the real question is, should we be experiencing PMS? Or is that simply a hormonal imbalance that's stemming from our food choices and our lifestyle habits?
I think, Cara, that is one of the most interesting questions because, you know, I think most people believe that we should have PMS and we really shouldn't.
Like people think menopausal symptoms are normal.
Yes. Or that as they get older, they should have arthritis or, you know, so many of those things. And we don't have to go down that path. So really what you're saying is, when you say food choices and lifestyle habits, what you're really saying is what you had, like you said, you had bloating. I know you didn't have acne, but, you know, but other symptoms like anxiety, breast tenderness, cramps that you had, depression, cravings, fatigue, headaches, insomnia, and mood swings, it's really a nutrition problem.
Yes, yes, to all of those. All those symptoms can be traced directly to a nutritional problem. And people often think that there's going to be a quick fix for PMS, like you had said, taking birth control or antidepressants, but it's really not that simple.
It isn't. So about 80% of all women, you know, of that age, of course, you know, not my age, but of that age, experience PMS at one time or another. And about 56% of women have symptoms so severe as to be incapacitating. And about 30 to 40% of women have symptoms that interfere with their day-to-day life. That means they take a day off from work. Mm-hmm. They have to stay home.
Or they miss school.
Or they miss school. Their cramps are so bad, and they're probably not very pleasant to be around.
Probably not. Well, one of the most common causes of PMS comes from a hormonal imbalance, and that's excess levels of estrogen and low levels of progesterone.
So another cause of PMS comes from women who eat too many processed carbohydrates and sugars.
So let's take a look at the problems that too many carbohydrates cause and why that bagel or maybe Slim Fast for breakfast may actually cause you to have the breast tenderness, the headaches, or the cramps.
I think, you know, Carl, when we talk about Slim Fast, I think so many people, they grab a Slim Fast as they're leaving and they drink it on the way to work. And they think that that's going to be healthy for them, don't you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's low calorie.
but it's 10 teaspoons of sugar, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
You know, and that is what causes that inflammation. So here's the chemistry behind this. All carbohydrates break down into glucose or sugar in your body. You know, and that bagel that Cara was talking about breaks down to about 14 and a half teaspoons of sugar. So carbohydrates, they increase your blood sugar levels. And then when it goes up too high, insulin is secreted to rebalance your blood sugars. So what happens is excess insulin and excess sugar creates inflammation, which creates breast tenderness, which creates headaches, which creates cramps. And all these symptoms are a form of some type of inflammation. And that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I don't think most people know that all of these conditions are inflammatory.
No, I'm sure they don't.
So really, less sugar equals less inflammation. And that's going to help with cramps. That's going to reduce breast tenderness and headaches as well.
So another problem, kind of a secondary problem with too much insulin. You know, we've eaten too much sugar, so we have too much insulin. And insulin is sort of considered this master hormone that influences and controls all other hormones. So too much sugar, too much insulin can interfere with that correct balance of estrogen and progesterone. Remember when we first started talking about that, we said, Kari, you said that that was an imbalance of estrogen and progesterone. Mm-hmm. So we go back to too much insulin, too much sugar, causing these symptoms. You know, hormones are very, very complex, and they all sort of affect one another. And, so it's kind of interesting how that can throw off this balance. Now, insulin also affects many other things. It affects how well our neurotransmitters work. So when receptors in our brain or in the rest of our bodies are blocked up, you tend to have more mood swings, and that's what insulin does.
Yep. In fact, too much sugar and too many carbohydrates, you know, that turns into excess insulin, which blocks the receptors for serotonin. And serotonin is our feel-good neurotransmitter. It's a chemical in our body that makes us calm and feel good.
So what we should do is probably take a quick break here. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company bringing you leading-edge nutrition education. PMS is not a deficiency of an antidepressant. It is a sign that you are missing nutrients in your diet, and you're not balancing your blood sugars. You know, it's sort of your female's body crying out for a healthier diet and a way of life. So if you have questions about PMS, and I think many, many people do, call us today at 651-641-1071.
Come to decide that the things that I tried were in my life just to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little known, but I need more than myself this time.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Kara Carper, nutrition educator and counselor, and I'm here with Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist. We're discussing nutritional solutions to PMS. And the first nutritional strategy to eliminate PMS is to be eating adequate amounts of protein throughout the day. And what we recommend for amounts is 2 to 4 ounces of protein, 4 or even 5 times a day.
So a person might say, well, what has protein got to do with PMS? Well, there's many, many different reasons to eat protein when you are having some PMS symptoms. Number one thing that it does is it helps to reduce inflammation in your body. Now, we're not saying sit down to an 8-ounce steak or a 10-ounce steak or, you know, these big, big steaks that they advertise. We're talking about 2 to 4 ounces, aren't we, Cara?
Yeah, and so what is that, Dar? How big is 2 to 4 ounces?
You know, if you kind of look at like the palm of your hand, that's about 4 ounces of protein for most people. Now, for a man, but then a man's not going to have PMS, so he doesn't have to worry about this. But for a woman, that's about 4 ounces, and then half of the palm of your hand is about 2 ounces. So that's what we're talking about. So it basically reduces inflammation. But maybe talk a little bit about how protein helps your mood a little bit.
Sure. Well, I mean, protein is really, it's a precursor to, you know, before break, we talked about neurotransmitters. Serotonin is the one that makes us feel good, reduces our cravings. Eating protein actually turns into serotonin.
And people just don't have any idea.
Mm-mm.
So that's a way you're going to keep your mood level really balanced. And now, like you say, you don't have any PMS symptoms now, so you don't have those. I don't know if you did have mood swings, but you don't.
I had mood swings and the bloating, and most the cramps were really bad.
Okay. So, Carl, let's take a caller here. Hi, Sue. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi. Am I on?
You are. Welcome
to. Okay. I don't have a question, but I just wanted to tell you guys that I am amazed. I've been 2 weeks without sugar.
Yes, good.
No bread.
Good.
I listen to you all the time, and so does my husband.
Good.
And I ordered your bifidobacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And also I started, this is just now only 2 weeks I've been doing this. I also started vitamin D in the form of 1 tablespoon of cod liver oil.
Okay, so you're getting about 400 milligrams of vitamin D, okay, or I use vitamin D.
Okay, and then I have been like every 2 days, well, now after about 2 weeks is done, I notice I have been losing weight. I always had that problem, and I had all these mood swings everywhere in the whole world, and I always felt like I had all these aches and pains. But I can see an improvement, and I exercise 20 minutes a day. That's all the time I feel I have.
Well, that's a great start, Sue.
But I just wanted to tell you guys that just implementing those things has, in 2 weeks, has really improved my life.
So in 2 more weeks, you're even going to feel better. That's great, Sue.
Right, and I am getting less cravings for sugar.
Yep.
The sugar one was a hard one to do.
It is, and if you can get off of it and stay off of it, it goes away, those cravings. And
okay,
I think that's great.
But I just wanted to tell everybody out there that you say works.
Okay, thanks, Sue. I appreciate the call.
We didn't tell Sue to call.
No, we didn't. So, Carl, let's get back to, you know, let's get back to the PMS thing that we were talking about. You know, some typical PMS symptoms that many women have, a typical one that a lot of women have, is acne breakouts. So, you know, and it's really embarrassing for a lot of women because suddenly they get these kind of boils. And so I guess you have to ask, what is going on? Why are you having those? Because that's what people often ask us when they come in. How come I have acne? I've never had acne in my life, and now I'm having acne. So what research has found is that 80% of the population is insulin resistant, which means that we're eating excess carbohydrates, and the body secretes too much insulin, putting kind of a coating on the receptors. So for insulin-resistant women, eating too much sugar or having dairy products lead to insulin growth and an insulin growth factor, so which also leads to acne, weight gain. So sugar and dairy products cause acne. So let me go over that one more time. So it's, you know, when you have insulin resistance and you drink a glass of milk, and especially if you drink a glass of milk and you have a muffin with it, you're getting sugar and dairy. And that causes an insulin growth factor, which causes acne. And this is what research shows. And that's the trick to it all.
So, Dara, can the correct nutrition reduce or eliminate PMS?
Well,
yes, that's what we're saying. And we've worked with hundreds of women to rebalance their hormones.
Hundreds and hundreds of people. So, you know, we talk a lot about trans fats, and we know that trans fats and refined oils interfere with proper hormone production. Remember now, when we say trans fats, we're talking about partially hydrogenated fat. In refined oils, we're talking about corn oil, we're talking about soybean oil, all those kinds of fats. Now, that interferes with how your hormones are produced. And we make hormones from good fats and cholesterol. So we need those good fats to work well. And, you know, so we need things like butter and olive oil because those are the kinds of fats that actually help make our hormones. But the damaged fats that we find in French fries, chicken nuggets, you know, and this is where like a lot of young women they're going to the bar and they're having greasy bar food. You know, those appetizers.
The happy hour appetizers.
Yes. And that really interferes with your balanced food or your balanced hormone production. So you're getting in that bar food, those things, you're getting a lot of trans fats or refined oils. And you're getting a lot of fried bad food. That's basically what's going on. So that's all those things are going to interfere. So let me check my time. I think what we'll do is we're going to take a quick caller here. Hi, Patty. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question?
I do. I'm doing pretty good with having like a protein. I eat eggs in the morning, and I'll have a fruit with that. But in the mid morning, in the mid afternoon, I will take an Atkin bar and eat that. And they're low in sugar. They say that they only have 1 gram of sugar. I'm just wondering what your thoughts of those are.
Well, my understanding is most of those bars, Patty, when they're low sugar, What you want to look for is an artificial sweetener.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have sucralose or
aspartame.
Yeah. So I'm certain that those bars do.
Yeah. So your concern in that type of product would be that artificial sugar.
Yes, because that
does
actually...
Does that fall in the same category as regular sugars?
I think they're worse.
Oh, you do?
Yes, they really are. So maybe you can find a bar that has usually they use agave syrup or what other, maybe some real maple syrup or something like that that's in a bar.
That has a higher protein amount?
Well, they have less artificial sweetener in them.
Okay, because this one has a high protein. It's about 11 grams.
Yes, and that's probably fine. So.
Okay, and would I find like something like that maybe at the Valley Nature stores?
You might find that a better bar at the Valley Natural or one of the other food co-ops, but you have to really look carefully, that's for sure.
Okay.
I was just going to say, J-Rob makes a really good whey protein bar.
Yes.
Did you say J-Rob, like with a R?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
R-O-B. Okay, I'll look for that.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for the call. So, you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company interested in helping people realize that nutrition can be the solution to your health problem. Minerals are essential for everyone, but especially important for women with PMS. Zinc levels have been found to be lower in women who have suffered from PMS. Zinc deficiencies may lead to decreased production of progesterone, a very important hormone. Lower levels of zinc can lead to an increase in cravings for sweets, especially at PMS time. So if you have questions for us today, 651-641-1071.
Closed off from love, I didn't need the pain. Once or twice was enough, and it was all in vain.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. We are discussing the nutritional solutions to PMS. Another strategy for eliminating PMS is to reduce or cut out coffee, sodas, both diet and regular, and limiting chocolate to a very small amount and only of the dark chocolate. Drinking caffeine like coffee and soda actually dehydrates you and also depletes zinc levels.
And other minerals.
And other
minerals too. And, we were talking about, just before break, we were talking about the fact that when we are deficient in zinc, sometimes what happens is we don't make our progesterone as well, and also we have more cravings for sugar. So again, we talked a little bit about the importance of eating protein, and we know that about 83% of the population is deficient in zinc. Now, what is causing that? Isn't that a huge number? 83% of the population is deficient in zinc. So you have to say, well, now, what causes that? Well, we get zinc from meat. We get it particularly high in grass-fed meat. So the animals will be eating grass, and it has a higher mineral level, so we're getting more zinc when we eat that meat. So again, Carl, we talked about how much protein should we have?
Well, we should have, between 2 and 4 ounces, 4 to 5 times a day.
So then you're building up your zinc level. You're building up your progesterone level, and you have less cravings.
Sounds
good. Like what Sue called in, it works like magic, doesn't it? So we're going to take a caller. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Mary?
Yes.
Hi there. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Thank you.
You have a question for us, or?
Yes. I'm interested in this protein, carbohydrate, serotonin connection.
Sure.
And recently I had read an article in a magazine that suggested in the morning, after you've been fasting all night, that you should only eat carbs to increase your serotonin levels for the day. And I'm confused as to if I should be eating carbs or if I should be eating protein to get the serotonin.
Well, I think actually there's some confusion. And the confusion is that all neurotransmitters, and we have 75 different neurotransmitters, they all are made from protein, and protein breaks down into amino acids.
Okay.
And so different amino acids make different, neurotransmitters. So we know that tryptophan, which is an amino acid, makes serotonin.
Yes.
And so You have to have that building blocks. You have to have those in place. So what we suggest for best utilization of your neurotransmitters is to eat protein with a little bit of vegetable carbohydrates to carry it into the cell, and then also have the healthy fats that help the receptors work better so that the next cell accepts the neurotransmitter.
So you're saying vegetable protein rather than like a whole grain.
We think it works better.
Okay.
You know, I think much better.
Okay.
You know, Sakara, you had a comment?
Oh, well, she just was asking if we were recommending vegetable protein.
Vegetable protein, vegetable carbohydrate.
I meant vegetable carbohydrate.
Oh, okay.
Well, I see. I heard you right. But Cara was really listening. Great. So does that, you know, try it,
yes.
You know, and you'll see it works. And
okay.
And that's the proof, I think.
Thank you.
But that was a great question. Thank you, Vermeary.
Bye.
So we're going to take another caller here. Hi, Christine. Christine, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Thank you. I am calling. I was diagnosed with endomyosis, and my insurance will not approve the type of surgery that I need. And so right now I'm just really trying to manage the disease. And I have, in the morning, I culture my own yogurt, so I have yogurt usually in the morning. I've tried to cut out just about all sugar and try to do more of nuts for carbohydrates. And is there anything else that can be suggested as far as controlling the symptoms of the disease?
Well, I am familiar with most diseases, but you've got me on that one. Would you explain it to for us and for the listeners too?
Endomyosis is an increase. It is similar to endometriosis. It's
okay.
An increase in the uterine lining,
okay.
And externally, I believe, and it causes excessive bleeding.
Okay, now I understand what it is. Okay. So what is really probably going on is that your body has had an excess amount of estrogen for a long period of time, which has caused that. So it's looking at, and I think you're on the right path for sure. You're keeping your carbohydrates down, your sugars and the processed carbohydrates, and then eating more vegetables, you know, a variety of vegetables, some that are a little higher in carb, but not very much of that. You know, a lot of like leafy green vegetables or asparagus, broccoli, because that helps to detox those extra estrogens out of your system. And then eating, you know, meat, you know, but again, the 2 to 4 ounces. And I think having extra good olive oil and, nuts and seeds for the fat. And that, I mean, that's probably the best way to keep that level down for yourself.
Okay, all right.
Is that kind of what you're trying to do?
Well, I probably am not getting enough of the leafy green vegetables.
And, you know, there are some certain supplements that we use a product that's called Estrofactors, because there are a lot of women that have just excess amounts of estrogens, and a lot of them are coming from our environment. And so that supports the liver's ability to detox, and it seems like it takes away a lot of the endometriosis, a lot of those symptoms of PMS, and it rebalances people. And it isn't a supplement that you have to be on forever. It's just for a couple of months to just support the liver's functioning.
Okay.
And it really does work great for people.
Okay, and it's called Estrofactors?
Yes, it's called Estrofactors.
Okay, and where would I find that?
Well, we have it at all of our offices, and a lot of the chiropractors would also have that. The company that makes it is Metagenics.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, that was a great question. Thank you for calling us. So, Carl, let's see. Where are we right now? I think I think it's time to take a break. So, you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. You know, right after the show today, I'm driving out to Wayzata to help my family and friends and staff move our Wayzata office to a new location in Wayzata. Our address is 1250 Wayzata Boulevard. That's our new address. You know, we've expanded our location. The walls are painted now, you know, and they're really looking nice. The floor is in. We have new lights, new doors, larger classrooms, which I'm excited about. And we're going to have Saturday hours, so stop in next week and just say hi to everyone. I think you're going to like it. You know I do. And I'm going to thank my son and his friends, Brad and Brian, because they've done a great job of providing us a great space. And really, Cor, thanks a lot. And if you have questions today, 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. We are discussing the nutritional solutions to PMS. Another effective nutritional strategy is to remove sugar, white flour, margarine, and fried and processed foods from your diet. So this all sounds great, right? But how do you eat better with a busy schedule? Everybody wants to know that. Wendy, a regular co-host on Dishing Up Nutrition, has a lot of great ideas for you. So Monday night, September 29th, Wendy will be teaching Food Fast Without Fast Foods at our White Bear location. That's from 6:30 to 8:30. So please join her. It's only $25, and you can sign up today. You can call 651-699-3438.
So a couple of questions we've had, some callers called in and asked, you know, what is our new Wayzata location? It is 1250 Wayzata Boulevard. And so that's just right there on Wayzata Boulevard. As you go in, it's across the street kind of from, Punch Pizza in that area. So that's kind of where it is. And also, our phone number is 952-345-0766 at that location. So we'll be there on Monday, and we'll be there this afternoon. And if you want to come by and help, we'll be there. So another question we had, Cara, is, okay, we're going to give up coffee, but we like coffee. So what do we do for another substitute for coffee? Got some ideas for us.
Yeah, well, a couple ideas. You know, not all decaf is the same. Most decaffeinated coffee is processed with, or it's made with a lot of pesticides and chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And the process of decaffeinating it is not healthy. But I think if you can find a good organic, water-processed, decaffeinated coffee, that's one answer.
Right, exactly. So it's water-processed, decaf.
Mm-hmm. Something else that I've tried, it doesn't taste exactly like coffee. It's an herb. It's called ticino. You can get it, I think, at most co-ops and health food stores. And you actually make it like coffee. You brew it, and some of them are flavored. They have a mocha.
Okay.
You know, very low sugar, and I think that's another good alternative.
And, you know, for myself, what I do is I basically I very, very seldom drink coffee, but I drink tea, and I drink, so I drink both green tea and black tea, and so that's my substitute. And so if it's like toward the evening, though, I do drink some type of an herbal tea so that I don't get the caffeine. So there's a lot of different ideas for teas out there now. So just some ideas. So if we kind of go back to, you know, we were talking about PMS, and we're talking about you really need healthy fats and to make good hormones. So you need to eat olive oil and eat nuts and, you know, have butter and all those things. So you want to stay away from all those damaged fats that you might find in French fries, and we talked about bar food and all that stuff. So those are some of the things nutritionally, eating-wise, you have to do. But now we have other ideas, don't we?
We do. We have other ideas. Well, you know, we teach people how to eat real food and, you know, not the low-calorie, low-fat or prepackaged foods. And for many, just eating real food is going to clear up acne and help with other PMS symptoms, even depression.
Yep, and I think the lady that called in, you know, kind of lets, you know, she understands that you have to eat that protein to make her neurotransmitters to relieve any kind of mood swing. So again, you know, some other ideas here for you. So if you're having PMS cramps, What I usually recommend is 400 to 600 milligrams of magnesium glycinate. And some people take that all month long, and some people just take it like a week before they start to have the cramps, and that usually will help reduce cramps tremendously.
And for breakouts with PMS, first, you know, you really need to reduce sugar and dairy products.
And that's hard for a lot of people, isn't it?
Well, sugar and dairy are in everything.
Yes.
But it can be done.
It can
be
done.
And it's very effective.
And we really help people do that a lot. You know, we understand that you have to have some substitutes and some other ideas to replace some of those mm-hmm. foods that you're used to eating.
Another thing that's helpful for the breakouts is to add acidophilus, which is a good bacteria in supplement form. And also the essential fatty acid called GLA. And then, of course, drinking lots of water.
So, you know, Carl, let's just talk just a minute about GLA. It is it's an activated omega-6. It helps to balance hormones, and that's why it helps to reduce that PMS. It helps your skin, so it's going to help with acne. I mean, it has many, many different functions, and some people just need to take it as a supplement.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, you know, it comes in two forms. It comes in evening and primrose oil, which a lot of people have heard about and they take for PMS. And another form that it comes in is borage oil, and that usually is just labeled GLA, and mm-hmm. that's just as effective for most people as the evening and primrose oil. So do you have other ideas for, like, acne?
Well, for acne, I mean, pop and juice are going to make acne worse. You know, juice turns into just as much sugar as soda. And sometimes it's really difficult to stop these habits, especially when you're a teenager. But what I find that when you understand the biochemistry of where your acne is coming from, that it's easier to be more careful with your diet.
Well, I agree. So you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. What often sets the stage for PMS is poor eating. You know, people who want to lose weight, and this is women often, they do this. They want to lose weight, so they eat nothing. Or they try to exist on a salad or just some kind of low-calorie, low-nutrient, poor diet. And then you combine that with stress. And we know women are under stress, so they're low on vitamins, they're low on their minerals. They're protein deficient, and pretty soon their health breaks down and they have PMS. So all that can be corrected, and we'll be back in a minute.
If you were falling, then I would catch you. You need a light.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. It's interesting to note that protein is of prime importance in helping the management of PMS. Protein is needed in order for the body to produce hormones and keep the female cycle functioning smoothly. And the essential fatty acid we discussed earlier, called GLA, has been found to alleviate the symptoms of PMS. And one more thing that we talked about was magnesium glycinate. That's very helpful to reduce mood swings and to help with sleep during the cycle.
So again, you know, if you're experiencing some insomnia the week before your period, magnesium glycinate and some natural progesterone cream will usually do the trick. But of course, you know, no chips and no popcorn and no candy before you go to bed. So, Carl, let's just talk a little bit about what progesterone cream is. You know, first of it all, it's a natural cream. It's over the counter. And we basically recommend using how much?
We recommend a quarter to maybe a half teaspoon at the most.
At the very most. And for most people, you know, I even sometimes recommend an eighth of a teaspoon, a quarter of a teaspoon. You don't want too much. Not that it's going to be harmful, but it's to balance you,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I usually recommend like the 14 days before your period, or sometimes I even recommend 10 days. Sometimes I recommend 5 days. You know, you don't need to use it for very many days of the month for PMS.
Mm-hmm.
So do you use progesterone cream?
I do. I use it, and it really helps me to sleep through the night.
Okay. And that's what a lot of people use it. They use it for PMS. I use it every night for sleep and just to feel good. I know that it supports my bones and everything. So that's some of the things that will help with that. We were talking a little bit about caffeine before, and we know that some of the studies have shown that women who regularly consume caffeine are 4 times more likely than others to have severe PMS. If the caffeine comes in diet pop, the risk even goes up higher. So these, you know, just some of these simple little things, just to give up the pop. I mean, you know, don't make a whole lot of changes at once, but, you know, maybe give up the pop first, the diet pop first, and see if you don't feel better. I mean, that's, you know, pretty simple.
And most people have to start by cutting back.
Yes, exactly. And then some of us who, you know, we have a lot of clients that they drink 6 to 12 cans of diet pop a day. Well, those people really have to stop, and it's pretty much cold turkey because they can't cut back, because that's called an addiction. So they just need to cut back a little more slowly. So if people have other questions, other PMS questions this week, you can give our offices, always give our offices a call, and we'll be happy to answer your questions, because, you know, I think what our goal is to help people rebalance with using real food, because, you know, life is too short to have these symptoms. So, you know, we always say food can be your problem, so diet pop could be the problem, or food can be the solution. So thanks for listening today. Have a great day.
Life, I love you, all is groovy.